Welcome to the Putting Couch, episode 35, brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. I'm Jim Grunberg, along with Ted Galina and Cody Hale, as always. And we welcome a lot of our new listeners. And today, our guest is Dr. Bob Winters. And we're going to talk a lot about the mental side of the game of putting, which is, everybody says that's what, somewhere from 90 to 95% of the game, the mental side. And with putting being 40% of the game, I don't know math, but that might be, that's a pretty big number right there. So we're looking forward to a great discussion. Dr. Bob, welcome.
Jim, it's great to be with you and Cody and Ted. It's always great to be here on the podcast. And so we've got a lot of great things to talk about today. So I really want to just jump right into it. So what's the flavor of the day today?
Well, you know what? It's just struck me that, you know, golfers of all levels, and I'm talking about even juniors, young junior golfers, you know, usually represented by their parents, to be perfectly honest, when the parent brings the kid in. But from golfers of that level to every skill level, all the way up to the tour, it just strikes me that golfers just have a love-hate relationship with putting. You know, they love it today, they love it next week, and then all of a sudden it goes south, and it's all of a sudden it's their biggest nemesis. And it just seems like it's constantly back and forth. So you can ask somebody what type of putter they are, and occasionally you'll get somebody who says, yeah, you're a great putter. And, you know, I think, you know, that's probably few and far between. But all golfers will tell you, oh yeah, they putt great at times, but it just seems like when they really get down to it, putting gets away from them and then they start hating it. So I don't know. I'm sure we can go a million different directions, but I thought that would be kind of a nice umbrella to just talking about putting. Because I think everyone that's listening to the Putting Couch certainly has had that feeling where, How can I be so good and then all of a sudden really not feel like I know what I'm doing? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it was Ben Hogan who first said that, you know, putting is sort of this necessary evil. But I think with the great Iceman Hogan himself, he almost talked himself into saying and believing that putting was a different game than the tee to green game. And he actually sort of talked himself into mediocre to actually poor putting. So beware of really what you say to yourself. It's funny because putting, it is make or miss. And so many people that I talk with and work with over the years, and I was talking earlier with Cody and Ted, I was looking through all the files and all the books and research articles, and let's be very, you know, clear here. The reason I got involved in all of this research in putting, in psychology, we say it's doing me search rather than research. You're trying to actually help yourself, all right? We talk about doctor, heal thyself. So all of the me search that I have looked at over the last 40 to 45 years, I mean, it says one thing, you know, loud and clear. Good putters, great putters, welcome the challenge, the opportunity to actually make putts. People who have problems putting, people who belabor their putting, always talk about the misses. I've never had one putter or one player come into me and say, Dr. Winters, wow, I am just making too many putts. I'm just making everything. You know, can you sort of tame me and slow me down a little bit? Because everybody talks about the ones that got away, almost like great fishing stories. Oh, if I had made a few more putts.
Yeah.
But in reality, the great putters tend to focus more on all of the makes. And even if they miss, they talk about missing it well. And I think that's why great teachers like Harvey Pinnick, you know, was telling his young students there in Austin, Texas, Tommy Kite and Ben Crenshaw, if you're going to go out on tour now, you need to go out to dinner with good putters, just not good players, but good putters. Why? Because it's contagious. They're talking about making putts. They're talking about the excitement of these different greens. They're talking about loving and falling in love with every type of opportunity to make putts. And that right there, just that is the single greatest thing that separates the great putters from the wannabe great putters. The great putters are always talking about possibility putting. You know, I'm going to make this next putt. They don't belabor all the misses. They don't talk about how bad it is. So we become the sole victim and hero of our thoughts, good, bad, and indifferent. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good place to start.
Fantastic. Well, you also mentioned something about Hogan that kind of struck me there, that he convinced himself over time that putting really he had to look at as just a completely different part of the game. And I guess, what are your thoughts on that? Is that something that more and more golfers really need to do to just sort of accept the fact that they're, I mean, yes, every shot is different in golf, but putting is really a completely different game. We always talk about it at Seymour as, being the great equalizer, because even if you, even if you really physically have some serious issues on compressing the ball and hitting it as far as you want and what have you, that we always say that, hey, putting is still 40% of the game and it can equalize. But should you be looking at putting mentally as literally like a second distinct part of the game of golf?
I just think it's another part of the game where you have different dynamics. I mean, if we take a look at golf as far as a motor skill, it is a closed skill, self-paced motor task. Now, I want to explain that. Closed skill means this motor skill, because we have gross and fine motors. Gross is a large body action. Fine motor skills are like your fingers, your hands, your wrists, your arms, dexterity, things like that. So golf is a combination of gross motor skills and fine motor skills. But a closed motor skill says that I am initiating the action with my environment. I have a stable environment. The ball's just sitting there. I'm not interacting with another player, like a soccer player is coming to defend me, or the baseball is coming into me. I'm dealing with a stationary object. It's self-paced, meaning I step into the ball. It's my timing. I hit the ball when I'm good and ready. And it is a motor task. I mean, we're actually trying to move, the ball from point A to point B. Now, with every shot, whether it's a drive, an approach shot, a chip, a putt, there is a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. So when we start talking about developing a routine to hit the golf ball, whether it's a tee ball, a chip shot, or a putt, the mechanism is the same. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. And that's really what we call a closed skill, self-paced sport. Now, putting is a perceptual motor skill. Now you're talking about employing the visual system and the motor system, the vestibular system, balance, touch. There's a lot of things going on with putting. But I think the big thing about putting, guys, that separates it from the other different dimensions of sport is that we can hit a tee ball and we can hit it down the left side of the fairway. Now, we were looking for the middle, but it's the left side of the fairway. Even if it's in the first cut of rough, we can recover from that shot. Now, we hit our approach iron to the green. Now, we hit it on the green 20 feet from the hole, or we miss the green. Okay, we still have, the possibility of actually chipping it in for a birdie if it's a par four. Now, we get up into our chip, and we, chip it up there 7-8 feet from the hole, all right? Or we can chip it in, get it up and in. But in putting, I mean, there's no recourse there. You either make it or you miss it. So there is a finality about putting. There's such a black and white. You either made it or you miss. And I have to deal with a lot of fragile egos that I say, wow, you really put a good stroke on that putt. And they go, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I missed the damn thing. Yeah. So even with a good attempt, even with a really successful attempt, I mean, and there's a million places that the ball can go, on this, multiple thousand square foot green. But we're trying to get this ball rolling and traversing over this planar surface to actually fall into a cup that's only 4 1/4 inches. And you got the whole daggone world around it. Okay. So putting by that definition is a very demanding skill. And that's why putting, you need to really put your focus in putting. But as far as the mechanics, the beginning, the middle, the end, I think they're all the same. And I think when you actually dissect and say, okay, putting is a separate animal than golf, it's just another dimension of the most glorious game ever invented. So I think Hogan was a little, remiss, probably there in his, saying, it's a different animal. It is, but it's part of the game. And unless you putt, And I think it was what, Willie Park that said, you know, the man who can putt is a match for anyone. The man who can't is no match for anyone. And so putting is just a huge part of this whole process.
Dr. Bob, you bring up a word, you know, we hear all the time, we talk all the time out here, is routine and consistency. And, you know, all the people who come in and see us at the studio here, you know, it's, they might shoot 85 or 90 and they say, oh, I left, you know, if I would have just made this putt or that putt, you know. But then you also get the guy who comes in here 72, 70. Oh, I could have shot so much lower if I would have just made these putts. It's almost as if the lower handicap players think they should be doing so much better. They don't concentrate, or you never hear them say, oh, I made such a great putt to make me shoot 70 or 69. It's probably the opposite, Cody, isn't it? That, man, I missed three putts out there that, you know, they didn't talk about how they made a save par putt from 15 feet, which was fantastic. So when you mention routine and consistency, I think that plays a big key when it comes to putting. I mean, we have routines in our daily lives, don't we, Dr. Bob, of how we get dressed, how we go to work every day. So that routine, you know, it should somewhat correlate somehow, I would think, to putting, having a nice putting routine, the consistency of feeling relaxed when you step up to that golf ball.
Well, absolutely. And I always talk about the abilities in confidence, because people, you know, love to putt. And if they're putting well, they're putting with a lot of confidence. So let's take a look at these abilities, what you talk about, Ted, and I think you're absolutely spot on, is that, you know, a putting routine that you have, it has to have dependability, that every time, you know, that you do it, you know, I'm depending on this, you know, I've got, you know, some durability here. And even if it's a lot of different, you know, green speeds, my routine, I can deal with the adaptability here. I can deal with the different conditions. But I think this is such a huge part of really what our discussion needs to go to today, is that, you know, putting, you know, if the routine is so important, you know, do people really employ a very structured process routine, or are they being, you know, consistent? And a lot of people ask me, how does my routine look? Is it consistent? And I said, yes, it's consistently inconsistent. You're doing something different every time. And I think that's really what a lot of players do. They're very inconsistent. They'll try one thing one time and they'll have success with it, but they really don't realize what they actually did to have success. So really, maybe a good point, you know, of our discussion today should be, really, what is a routine? How long does it take to make one? How do we know a routine becomes a routine? And what's the best routine, you know, for me to adopt? And, you know, and so just let me just begin, you know, with this definition of what a pre-putt routine is. It's a combination of several mental cognitive strategies. It's also coupled with these behavioral responses that go on the same time that we're using all these mental strategies. And it's used to prepare for the execution of this fine motor, close skill, self-paced task. Now, when we start talking about having all these strategies, what are we talking about? We're talking about having a plan of stepping into the ball, knowing where the ball wants to go, really having some active rehearsal strokes, really having a good feel for what you want to do when you step into the ball. But the one thing that we want to have in this routine, we want to create a feeling of safety, a feeling of control, and a feeling of comfort and confidence. So when you step into the ball, you absolutely almost guarantee yourself, I mean, I've eliminated the distractions, I'm ready to actually stay on task. And that's what a routine does. It, you know, keeps you in the present moment. It keeps you with this feeling of security, of feeling safe. It gives you a feeling of control. And it gives you the very best chance of hitting the putt where you want it to go. And that's really why people need to adopt a great, structured, and consistent pre-putt routine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think you know, you hit the nail on the head, because a lot of players we see in the studio, and especially even some of the good players, not so much, you know, at the tour level, but a lot of the good players that, you know, we're talking about the love-hate relationship of putting. You say, well, why are players that use the common word of streaky? And you mentioned, you know, why are they streaky? Well, when they come in and do something, they're trying something every time. And a lot of times when they walk into the putt, they're not setting it down the same way. They're not walking into the putt the same way. They don't have anything that they can trust. Like you mentioned, they don't have anything that they can depend on to put them in the position to give them confidence to hit the same or a consistent putt the same way every single time. So, you know, what is it that they can develop to help them, you know, get into a consistent putt? What is it? Some of the great players out there, what are some of the characteristics that they have that you know, warrant a good routine?
Well, I tell you, we could actually have every putting couch talk about this one single aspect. Okay, but let's get it, you know, right down to a single aspect. What's the first thing that we need to be doing when we actually step onto the green? Okay. One of the things I need to do is when I step onto the green, okay, I need to assess what's going on. A lot of people say, well, when do I actually start my routine? I mean, this is just a great place to start. When do you start your routine? I mean, is it when we actually pull the putter out of the bag, when we're actually walking to the green to sort of examine and assess and see exactly what we're looking at? For me, that's really where your sort of the whole putting process starts from. It starts using your visual system, your balance system, the feel that you generate through your feet. You're examining everything. You are becoming sort of this putting psychological detective. Where does this ball need to travel in order for this ball to go into the hole? So a lot of people just need to pay attention to really what's going on around them. The great Yankee baseball player and coach, Yogi Berra, said, hey, you can learn a whole lot just by watching and looking, okay? And that's really what a lot of players do. They just step up here, and a majority of players don't really assess really what, you know, they need to be doing. What they need to be doing is to be saying, okay, here, I'm going to take a look at it from this perspective, maybe go around, you know, the green a little bit, see what's happening up around the hole. And over the years, for the last 40 years, you know, some of the best putters in the world that I've had a chance to work with and talk with, they're always looking at what's going on 3 to 4 to 5 feet from the putting cup. And I always ask them why. And they say, well, this is where the ball is traveling at its slowest speed. This is sort of the terminal phase of the putt. This is really where a lot of the break occurs in this last 5 to 6 feet. So the ball is rolling down slower, this terminal phase. So I really want to be able to see the entrance, and I actually want to have a feel in my mind's eye of how I want that ball rolling into the hole. And also looking at a specific, what I call the front door to the hole, I want to see where this ball is going to enter the hole. That's why they spend so much time. And that's why I always tell people that your routine should really begin with the end in mind. Now, that's the second principle of Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think it's a very good habit for highly effective putters as well, is that when you begin with what the ball needs to be doing at the end of this putt, you now are giving yourself sort of, you know, this permission to say, okay, what's this global view? Where does this putt need to travel? Then we can start, you know, assessing and estimating some things. But that's the big thing about, you know, really starting your routine. What is it you want to do with the putt? Where does it need to go? And where do you need it to end up? And then with all these different factors, you're putting in, you know, the distance, you know, the roll speed. You're looking at, you know, how hard I want to hit it. So the brain is really assembling a lot of different factors here. So that's a really good place to start. And I don't think a lot of people do that very well. They just sort of go up there and then when they hit the putt, they go, wow, I didn't see that. So one of the things that I've learned by working with a lot of other teams, I remember working with the University of Virginia women's basketball team with Coach Debbie Ryan years ago. And I remember we had an exercise where anywhere on the floor, you had to stop, shut your eyes, and point, you know, to the basketball rim. It was amazing that most of these players didn't know exactly where the basketball rim was. And just by highlighting and just having them be more aware of where that rim was, you know, a lot of good things happened. You know, their shooting percentages increased. They became more aware of their spatial orientation to themselves, to the basket. I think the same thing can be transferred to, you know, the putting green. Do you know exactly where, you know, the ball, the putting cup is? Do you know where your ball wants to actually roll? And can you actually have a real good idea of where your ball roll line needs to be?
Dr. Bob, does it matter with, I mean, do you do the same routine for any length of putt? I mean, I'm assuming a tap in, you don't do that. But I mean, from 4 or 5 feet on out?
Absolutely. I think that's the key to having a routine. So people say, when is a routine a routine? It's when a routine has become automatic. It is on automatic pilot. It's sort of what we call implicit memory, procedural memory. But you have to be able to have a routine. Now, here's the big thing, Ted and everybody, Cody and Jim. You know, when does a routine become a routine? In order for a routine to become a routine, you have to have intention, a sense of purpose. This is exactly why I'm doing these very specific steps when I step into a putt. Now, this is what we call being and having a ritual. A ritual is different than a routine. A ritual is what I call attentional focus into a specific component. So if I'm actually learning, you know, to really create something in my routine, let's say I want to look up and down the line two times, you know, coming to the ball, to the, you know, the hole, back to the ball, and I might look a couple of times. That becomes very intentional. Because in order for a routine to become really, you know, embedded and for it to work, you have to be able to go through this deliberate practice of practicing this ritual of moving your eyes back and forth or doing very specific behaviors with this intent so that you can actually overlearn. And through the laws of repetition and reinforcement, and you do these enough times, it then becomes part of this implicit memory. And that's really what, when we talk about when does a routine become a routine, it's when you don't have to think about it anymore. But in order for a routine to become habitualized, and you have to be able to do these rituals, and it has to be deliberate. And let me talk to you about this, about habit formation. Everybody wants to talk about 21 days. It takes 21 days to create a new habit. That isn't exactly true. That came from the literature back in the early 1960s with Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who was a great plastic surgeon who had written the book Psycho-Cybernetics, and who was really one of the first people to talk about, you know, self-image and actually, you know, self-awareness. So he was really one of the first that actually kind of, you know, got us into this performance psychology. But 21 days just seemed long enough. But there's been some researchers from the University of London, I think Pippa Lally. They said it takes really about 66 days to maybe 200 days in order for, you know, something new to be habituated and to become a routine. So those players who, you know, actually say, I'll work something for 2 or 3 days. No, it hasn't had a chance. You're not even giving your new routine or your new process to work. That's why when we make New Year's resolutions, fellas, is that, you know, they only work for maybe a week to 2 weeks. But, you know, that's the whole point. And I remember years ago at the University of Virginia, someone said, what are you studying? I said, I'm studying all about confidence. I'm talking about, you know, all how this works. And they said, another big field you need to get into is compliance and adherence. And that to me, you know, is something that I have really sort of been steering towards the last 20 years. Because if we can get people to do exactly what, you know, they say they want to do, and they do it religiously, time after time after time, with this, you know, positive intent and the sense of purposefulness, they become very good at whatever, you know, it is that they're trying to pursue. And that's really what good putters, you know, should be doing. If you're going to do something, stick to it. And that is our role as teachers and educators, to get players to say, hey, I need you to do this. No, hold on. You're not doing this. Let's go back and let's start this over again.
That's great stuff. Well, I would just observe that, you know, if you look historically at the great putters, the you know, the Tiger Woods, the Zach Johnsons, Crenshaw, you know, any of these guys, Brad Faxon, a lot of them have really adopted something. They've spent the 66 to 200 days plus, and they've stuck with it. So their routine, they've got their alignment down. They've got their putting stroke down. They've got to a point where they believe that they can hit a line and a speed for the most part every time, right? So then that still doesn't mean they're not going to have horrible putting days. But when they have horrible putting days, I think those are the ones that can look at it and say, I'm just not reading these greens correctly, you know? So it seems like those are the two big variables in putting. Obviously, all the routine and getting the line and the speed right. But then you can still miss putts if you're not reading the greens correctly. So, you know, whereas players that don't develop the routine, they always have those two huge variables, which is why I think you see so many golfers desperately changing everything every couple of weeks. But they're not going to get better because they'll never be able to look at the round and say, I was hitting the putts that I wanted to. They just weren't online. They're just going to say, man, I'm a terrible putter. I can't make anything. And I think the average player probably doing the same thing 10 times.
There's a lot of errors. Yeah. You know, let me just get to this. There's a lot of errors in putting. There's physical errors, mental errors, emotional errors, even sensory errors. And sensory errors are, you know, saying, I didn't see that break correctly. I read that, you know, incorrectly. But for me, you know, this whole notion about a mental error, you know, it should never happen because the ball was waiting for you to hit it. And I think the problem that most people have is that they make a lot of mental errors because their head and their focus wasn't in the right place. They went ahead and just, oh, I'll go ahead and hit it anyway. And they weren't specific about what they wanted to do, and they didn't have that positive intent. Yeah, Cody, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What you were getting ready to say?
No, that's I was going to go back, and I think those points, because like you mentioned, once you get that routine identified and some of those things I was going to mention, like Ted was talking about earlier, once you get that sort of in place and ingrained, it's like, you know, you wake up in the morning and you go through, you get into this routine, you take the same way to work. I've been driving to work before and got to work and be like, man, I went through two traffic lights and don't even remember stopping at them or going through them. And it's like, what in the heck was I thinking about then? And it just was so routine. You know, I drive the same way, do the same thing every morning. And then you get into that routine. And it's just like, it just happens naturally. And it's just a subconscious effort to do it. And it's like, the more you practice that, and I think that's an important part of it. And the more times you do it, you're able to do it the same way in the same amount of time each time. And I think that's important, is that you see good players go through that, and you could probably click a stopwatch and it would be 17 seconds through their routine, or 25 seconds, or whatever it is, from the time they start their routine to the time they hit the putt, from the time they read their putt, they go through it, they take their practice strokes, they take their looks, and they go through that and they execute their putt. And if they have the same routine and they have the, you know, they stick with a putter and they're not switching everything out, like Jim said, the guys that are struggling, if they have constant variables that are changing, how do you know what's not working? It's hard to identify something that's not working. But if you have something that, you know, is constant and dependable, and then all of a sudden that, you know, you don't have that day that's putting well, you don't really have those really streaky rounds. It's more of a consistent, you know, I would say, a line that, and then the days that aren't putting well, you can, you know why you're putting well, in the days that you're not, you can identify that pretty easy. Okay, was it speed? Was it the green reading? What was it? And then it's easier to fix those versus if I'm switching putters and I'm switching my routine and I'm switching all these different things around, it's hard to identify, and it's hard to, and it makes it a lot more difficult to be able to assess and then be able to fix that versus somebody that really has a dependable routine and a system to be able to fall back on.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, the quick fix is them switching out putters. You know, oh, that putter didn't work today, so let me try something else. And so they make a few putts with it that round. Okay, let's use it for the next round. Oh, wait a second, didn't work that round, so let me go to something else. So like you're saying, they need some type of routine, consistency, know when they're putting good and when they're not putting
good. It
becomes
a subconscious effort then. And then you can really, I think, I don't know. I feel like you can identify better with your own efforts and your own system that you have versus just as everything changes, it's harder to be able to understand why you're putting well and why you're putting poorly.
Well, let's kind of there's been so much great information. I want to talk about Ted says, people, you know, really changing putters. You know, that's really one of the most beautiful things in the world of golf. I am one of the worst. I will go into your factory, your showroom, and I will pick up every putter. And I will say, I love this putter. I haven't met a putter yet. I haven't liked it, right? They all look good. They all feel good. And why is that? Because I love putting and I believe, you know, I'm a great putter. And I think that's so important. But there's also something in psychology called the novelty effect. And the novelty effect means the brain just loves something that's new. It's different. And so we put, you know, that putter down, we actually start putting with it. You know, just because of the incentive and we're motivated, we start to putt, you know, better with it. Then after about 2 weeks, we kind of, you know, regress and go back to normal standards. Lee Trevino said, it's just getting to know you a little bit better, all right? I always thought that was pretty funny. But the other thing is, I think, Cody, you mentioned this whole notion about having a great routine. I think we have to be very careful about, say, just do your routine. Because we become victim of routinization, meaning we just go through the motions. And for me, great putters understand this one thing. If the listeners just grab onto this one little golden nugget, how would it be that every time you stepped into the putt, you really believed that this putt was going to go into the hole? Every time. Now that right there in itself is a great mental component to a routine, because the most important part of a routine is when you step into a putt and you absolutely positively have committed yourself to roll this ball and know that it's going into the hole. Now, if you can get yourself into that type of a mental routine, regardless of all the other things, you know, the little intricacies, the timing, the fluid, you know, the flowing motion, if you could just get yourself to that, I almost assure you that you would putt, you know, so much better. Many years ago, when I was at the University of Virginia, and we had a group of great, you know, scholars there, we looked at all sorts of routines. Do I use a line? Do I not use a line? Do I use a short routine, long routine? Do I actually take two looks? Do I breathe? Do I close my eyes? We're looking at, you know, literally hundreds of different ways to actually putt. What was the most important thing? Most important thing is, did you believe in your process? Was it consistent? And did you comply with it? Did you do exactly what you said you're going to do? Because whether you hit and you make the putt or you miss the putt, you will at least have the consolation and the knowledge to know I stuck to my routine. I committed to it. Because a putt can do a million things. But the one thing we want it to do, we want it to go into the center of the hole. So I think that's something we should also consider as well. You need to have a great routine. It is important that it would be consistent. But one of the things we want you to do is actually just have something that really works for you.
Love it. Man, we've covered a lot, Doc. You always just enlighten us. And, you know, putting is the great thing about people who are tuning into the Putting Couch for the first time or you know, the 35th time is that once you start really spending time thinking about putting and talking about putting and practicing putting and, you know, adding putting to that part of the golf, you know, that challenge that you're seeking every day becomes a lot of fun. And, you know, we have noticed over the years that putting has sort of been, it's gone from sort of that, you know, that unnecessary, or that, you know, sort of necessary, you know, but not interesting 14th club in the bag. You know, it's not as much fun as any of the other parts of the game. And I think people realize now that, you know, putting is really, it's a science, it's an art, and it's really, really difficult to master, as you said, because as you funnel toward from the tee to the green, the margin for error gets smaller and smaller until with putting, there's really only, you know, 4.25 inches and that's it. So, and to post a score, you got to get the ball in the hole. And so it's been a great, great conversation. And, you know, there's a lot more. We're going to have you on a lot more times. I think, you know, this one of the things we always do try to add at the end here is, you know, the Putting Couch is brought to you by the Seymour Putters, you know, tour team. Dr. Bob Winters, our guest, great to have you as one of our, you know, sort of national advisory staff. And, you know, we just want to cover all things. You can always, you can find more about us at puttingu.com, Ted. And you know, I think you know, we challenge you to go out there and, you know, start thinking about, you know, how you can improve your putting game. We're throwing a lot of stuff out there. And yeah, at Seymour, the one thing we do love is that all of our putters have rifle scope technology. It's just a, you know, some people look at it as a subtle thing. Some people look at it as a game changer, but it allows you in that routine. It allows you in your practice to sort of eliminate some variables. It helps you set the putter down in the same place every time. It helps you know that you're square to your target line. It gives you confidence to feel like you can make every putt. And so, you know, that's what we love talking about, all things. And we know golfers, Doc, you're exactly right. I mean, you can't go into our shop or any golf store if you love putting and want to pick them all up. But in the end of the day, you know, what's the tool? What's the part of that's going to help you build that routine, build that great putting game where you feel like it's an area that's going to win for you. And, that's kind of where we're trying to help our friends get to. So, we appreciate having you.
Well, I'll tell you, it's great. Well, I just really want to, you know, sort of part with this last, you know, little story. Had a chance to play with the King, Arnold Palmer, years ago, and I was making a lot of putts, and he asked me, he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do many years ago, you know, to believe I'm going to make the putt and actually step in and hit the putt." And he looked at me and he said, hit it. "Wow, how?" And I said, "To hit it solid. You told me to hit the putt solid and believe you're going to make it." He goes, "Well, I need to start doing that." And I said, "Okay." And he went ahead and he actually made several putts coming down the stretch of playing at Bay Hill in a shootout. And then after the round was over, Arnold, who was, you know, an older man, and this is like back in 2007, he grabbed me by the nape of the neck and he goes, "I'll tell you what, Bobby." He goes, "Everybody can talk about hitting a 300-yard drive." He said, "But there's no feeling in the world like making that last putt on the green to take home all the cash." He goes, "It's the greatest feeling in the world." And I'll still remember that time, you know, that Arnold Palmer said that to me, because if we think, you know, no one's really, you know, up there on the first tee actually hitting, you know, a drive and then raising, you know, their driver and fist pump in the air. It's always about making a putt when people, you know, really flex, you know, that fist and go, "Yeah," because that is the exclamation point on a day well done. So, you know, I'll just leave it there right with the King. It's great to be here on the Putting Couch with, you know, all you guys. Proud to be a member of the team. And I hope everybody goes out there and always remember that the moment you change your mind, you change your game. Thanks, fellas.
Hey, that's fantastic. Ted, Cody, Dr. Bob, thank you very much. You've all been listening to the Putting Couch, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Share it with your friends and spend some time going back into some of the past episodes. They're all relevant. Nothing goes out of style, because every one of our podcasts is meant to be there for you for the rest of your golfing life. And we hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much for being with us.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.